I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. We're almost at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking at verses 24 through 27. Jesus is about to close the curtain on the Sermon on the Mount, leaving the listeners then and the listeners today, all of us, to come to an honest decision. What kind of person we are to be and how we are to live those lives that will reflect these principles, these teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ as citizens in the kingdom of God. The choice is ours, just as the choice was theirs, too, of how we want to live out the grace of God. How we want to give flesh and life to the gospel that has saved us through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no neutrality when it comes to obeying the Lord in our lives. We either obey or disobey. There's no middle ground there. And as you see here in chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 24 through 27, a very familiar passage. It's about the wise man and the foolish man that build their house, their lives, if you will, in this illustration, their lives on either a firm foundation, the rock, or sinking and shifting sands. The Lord describes adequately in this. Let's take a look at, if you'd like to take out your outline, and take a look at the simple yet profound illustration, and so follow with me as I read verses 24 through 27. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Father, we thank you for your word, and your living word, your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making these principles of the new life, as children of God, as men and women who have been born again by the power of your grace, the gospel, through faith in you alone, Lord Jesus, and your finished work. Principles that we can live by your grace and the enabling of your Holy Spirit in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our prayer life, in giving and meeting the needs of the poor, all these other so many wonderful lessons of life in the new life we have in you, taught in this sermon. Lord, now as we come to these closing passages, help us to take these applications that you give us and apply them personally to our lives. That we would be wise men and women, building our lives together with you on the rock. That firm foundation that you and you alone are, Lord Jesus, and your word. So guide us now, we pray. Transform our lives in that work of transformation, that we become more like you, that as we grow more and more in knowing you, that we can also make you more known to others through life and word. In your name, amen. This simple yet profound illustration, verses 23 through 27. First of all, you see that it's inclusive, isn't it? It says everyone. In fact, those two types of people, and there's only two, there's no middle ground. No one's half wise and half foolish. They're either wise or foolish. And so this parable, this illustration, this picture, is really inclusive of everyone who would ever hear or read this parable, this illustration. As I say, there's no middle ground. It's sort of like, if you will, life and death. There's no middle ground there. It's the same as being saved and not saved. There's no middle ground there. You're either on the rock or you're on the sand. No middle ground. So because it's all-inclusive, it's something that Jesus Christ is speaking to all of us. You would agree with that, wouldn't you? Not only is it inclusive, but it's also instructive. Take a look, if you will. It says, whoever hears and does, contrasting, that's the wise man or the wise woman who hears the words of Jesus Christ and does them, inculcates the word of God into their lives and how they think and how they act, and our attitudes. It's instructive for us to hear, then apply it, and live it out. But it's also instructive about the foolish man, the foolish woman, who hears, and yet does nothing about it. It's sort of like, exactly like James says, that we must not only be hearers only of the word of God, but be hearers and what? And doers of the word of God. I wonder where James got that. You think he got it from Jesus? I'm sure he did. As all the apostles. Sometimes people like to put James and Paul in a conflict. Like say, Paul's only talking about grace and no works, and James is talking about a living faith with works. Well, they're both talking about the same Savior and the same way of receiving that Savior, Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. But Paul would also agree with James, is not only the hearing of the word of the gospel, but it's also doing it. The word, obeying God. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. For those who are in the kingdom of God, they not only hear the words of Jesus Christ, but they are doing them. That's the wise man. That's the wise woman. So it's not only a picture that's all-inclusive, because everyone here, no matter where your foundation in your life is, whether you're on the rock or on the sand, this picture, this parable, this teaching of Jesus Christ is for all of us to hear, to learn, and then to do something about it. It's also inviting. Take a look, if you will. Jesus always calls for a response to the hearing of His word. Inherent within this example, the wise man, he responds. The wise woman, they respond to the word of God. Because why? Because the word of God also invites that response, doesn't it? God is always seeking to teach us that we would learn. And that by learning His principles and applying His promises to our lives, that we will live out the Word of God. So that living, active Word of God becomes a part of how we think and how we view life, how we view one another, and how we view God, and how we live and serve Him. So a simple yet profound illustration. It's so simple because this is one of the stories we tell in even the primary classes, don't we? The wise man built his house upon a what? Oh, you know the song, don't you? You probably sang it when you were maybe that high. It's simple, and yet how profound it is. Because this simple illustration, no matter where a person is, in Christ or outside of Christ, this teaching speaks to every heart. But it's not just the hearing that transforms the life. Let's take a look, if you will, as we go on. It's inviting, like in your outline before you, the many invitations from the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at this one in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Don't you love to rest? It's the day of rest, eh? Amen. Yeah, but there's a rest of the Lord that you and I can experience every day of our lives. Resting and knowing that our sins are forgiven because He paid the price. I wouldn't pay. It would take us all eternity, and even then we wouldn't pay the price for our sins. Death penalty. Rest. In the amazing and all-sufficient grace of God. Rest in the sufficiency of our Savior. Rest in His keeping word and guiding. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Have you responded to that invitation? I pray you have. Have you found that rest that only Jesus can give you? I pray you have. You see, this illustration here is also an inviting picture for that man, that woman, who right now may be very, very foolish and building their lives on shifting and sinking sand, and knowing that when the storms of life come, things begin to fall apart. Well, the invitation here is that become that wise man, become that wise woman, and make sure that right now, today, that your life is founded upon, firmly founded upon, the rock of your salvation, Jesus Christ. I believe that he didn't give this illustration to beat people up, but I do believe he gave this illustration to build people up. And the only way you and I can be built by the Lord Jesus Christ is that the house of our lives, are firmly fixed upon that foundation. Is your life on that foundation? I pray it is. So this simple yet profound illustration, yes, it's inclusive of everyone, those inside Christ and those outside of Christ. It's instructive. It's inviting. Take a look at the words that you have in your outline before you also. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking about the words that we not only hear, but we are to obey. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and what? And life. For that new life. Not just any old life. Not the old life that you used to have, but for the new life that you can have and you do have, if you have Jesus Christ right now. Again, in John 7, if you have there before you. So Jesus answered them, saying, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, would you circle that phrase? If anyone's will is to do God's will, this is the key. Do you have a will to not only hear, but also to obey God's word? Or just hear and not obey? Here it says, if anyone has a will to do God's will, he will know. Circle that. You know God's will for your life? I pray you do. One thing that may be hindering and you don't know and you want to know, you say, Lord, what's your will for my... Maybe you're not willing to do his will. And then you won't know. But if you're willing to do his will, that's what Jesus is saying here. That's why it kind of dovetails with exactly this illustration. Those who hear and do his word, do his will, are those who are building their lives on a firm foundation, the rock. He will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. You see, it starts with the will of the heart, doesn't it? Your heart, my heart. Let's take a look, if you will, in this illustration, the storms of life. Well, recently we've seen a lot of terrible storms, haven't we? We've seen Harvey, we've seen Irma, we've seen Jose, and now there's Nate. We've seen some other terrible things too, just last week with terrorist shootings, storms of life. They come in many shapes and sizes, whatever they may be. They are certain. The storms of life are certain for you and they're certain for me. We will go through them and they will come into our lives as well. Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, in the world you will have peace and a picnic. No, in this world you will have what? Tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. He didn't say if, he said you will. That's why this parable is so important for Christians and non-Christians alike, because everyone, saved and unsaved, will face the storms of life, whatever they may be. It might be a health issue. It might be a financial issue. Maybe the loss of a job. It might be a relational issue. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's children going that you have raised and they're going into a drug situation. I don't know. I don't know what that storm is that you're facing right now. But I do know that the answer is that your life right now is on a firm foundation of the rock Jesus Christ, and God will get you through that storm. I know He will. Notice that the storms, the storms, they're saved for both the wise and the foolish. Sometimes people say, you become a Christian and you're going to live long, you're going to be prosperous, you're going to be happy, and all's going to be okay. Oh, really? Listen to what Paul says, because these are the things that he experienced, and he's talking to other Christians that have come to know Jesus Christ and say, well, where's the picnic, Paul? Paul's saying, hey, wait a second, kids. There ain't no picnic here. Take a listen, if you will. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate you? Who shall separate me? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Obviously, Paul's asking a rhetorical question. He knows that there's nothing in all the world that's going to separate that wise woman, that wise man, who has founded their lives on the rock, Jesus Christ, as a firm foundation. There is nothing in life's storms that will ever separate you from the love of Christ. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Amen. He's the one who says, I will take you by my righteous right hand, and I will go through the floodwaters with you. I will go through those fires of affliction with you. I will be with you. And you know that I will be with you. The storms of life, they're certain. They're the same for both the wise and the unwise. But for the Christian, there's a difference. It's a resource of Jesus Christ that you and I have. Because for the Christian, those storms, whatever you are going through right now, or whatever you and I will go through in the future, they have a purpose for the Christian. Again, that wise man, that wise woman in Christ Jesus, whose life is firmly founded, rooted, established on the rock, the Redeemer. They have a purpose in our lives for God's glory. Whatever you're going through now, right now, whatever that storm of life you may be going through, would you say, Lord, for your glory, with you, I want to go through this. Lord, strengthen me, enable me for your glory. It's also for our growth in Christ. There are a number of verses that speak about that as well. Our growth in Christ. We will grow the strongest, the deepest, and the surest when you and I go through struggles. You've known that. Another purpose, when we go through the storms of life, so that you and I, in the name, the life, and the power of Jesus Christ, can minister to others going through storms. Like Paul says, God is our Father. He's the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in any of our adversities, our afflictions, our struggles, our storms of life, that we can, from that same comfort, now comfort others going through whatever storms they're going through. You see, for the wise man, for the wise woman, going through the storms of life, there is a purpose. The unsaved man, the unsaved woman, the foolish man, the foolish woman, never sees that purpose. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors, Paul writes, through him who loved us. But he knows the way that I take, Job says. Now there's a man who really went through some storms in life. And Job says this, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job was seeing all those afflictions and all those adversities and all of those losses and all of that grief and sorrow as a means that God had of refining his life, that he would grow in grace and bring glory to God. And God blessed him through it, didn't he? So storms of life, they have a purpose, especially in the lives of believers. Let's take a look at the solid rock. Here in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man or wise woman who builds his house on the rock. The word there is Petra. Now, I know there used to be in the history of the church some division, and they said, well, you know, Peter was a rock. No, he was just a little stone. Just a little stone. He was a Petros. He was a mini-me. And when the Lord said, Peter, upon this rock is what Peter declared. in knowing who Jesus Christ is and always will be and is for him personally. You are the Son of the living God. Later on, Jesus said, are you going to leave me like all these others who said they were disciples of mine? Are you going to leave me also? And the disciples said, no, but Peter spoke out. He said, Lord, who can we go to? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. Do you know what happened in Peter's life? And the disciples that followed him, they knew they needed a rock. They knew that they needed a foundation. And they know where to go to for that foundation today. That was Jesus. Do you have that foundation in your life? Maybe you're going through the storms of life like everybody else, and maybe they're different. Maybe you say, well, why me? I've been so good. Well, there's a lot of good people, too, that have heart attacks, have cancer, lose jobs. It's not about our goodness or lack thereof. It's all about Jesus Christ in our lives, personally. You see, the solid rock is clear throughout Scripture. Not Peter, not you, not me, not even South Mount Bible Church. It's Jesus Christ. Like the psalmist says, Lord, I have strengthened you, for you are my rock and my redeemer. You are my refuge and my fortress. Amen. Is he that for you? It will make a world of difference of how you face and go through the storms of life. Luke says, as Luke recorded this illustration of the Lord, Luke writes, you have that before you, it's like a man, and he's talking about the wise man, building his house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. What he's communicating that, he's doing with diligence, with purpose, with decision, with focus. It's not, well, you know, I'll pick up Jesus today and I'll leave him later on. No. Your life, my life, is either on the foundation of Jesus Christ and will be for all of eternity, or on sinking, shifting sands. 11 miles off the coast of Scotland, in the North Sea, stands what is known as the Bell Rock Lighthouse. It has endured the ferocious onslaught of the North Sea storms since 1811. It rests upon a rock, about an acre, solid rock. And it's on a small reef. It's covered with seawater 20 hours a day. The builders of that lighthouse, Robert Stevenson and his skilled workers, only had 4 hours each day to carve out of that rock island that's only an acre, to carve out a place to place as a foundation for that lighthouse. They did it diligently, with purpose, with determination. That lighthouse has stood there in the North Sea, 11 miles north of Scotland, facing those ferocious storms for over 200 years. It hasn't budged. All of us will face the storms of life. Some are facing them right now, and they are ferocious. But God says, the floods will come, the rains will come, the winds will blow. But if your life is on the firm foundation, the rock, how do you know? Because you see that wise woman, that wise man that has his or her life on that firm foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ, is the one that not only hears the Word of God, but also obeys the Word of God. Who does the Word of God? The rock endures. The Lord says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. The rock strengthens and stabilizes the structure above. It says in Isaiah, speaking of the Lord himself, and he will be the stability of your times. I need stability, don't you? I need strength, don't you? I find that That's sustenance, that's strength, that's stability in Jesus Christ alone. The rock only gives strength and stability for the upper structure of your life and my life, but the rock also gives security. It becomes an anchor of the soul. He becomes that anchor of the soul that the writer speaks of in Hebrews. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks these words to that wise woman, that wise man, who hears the word of God and obeys the word of God and says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. The rock gives security and rest in Him and His word. The rock calls for a response. I believe that's why the Lord has this illustration by way of application. And those who heard then and hear today, we have a decision to make. Am I going to be that wise man, that wise woman, or that foolish man, that foolish woman? You see, there's no middle ground. It's not half rock and half sand. Either Christ is the rock of your life, or it's not. And we thank God, Paul writes, constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believing. How can Paul say that? Because they were obeying. They weren't only hearing it, but they were receiving the word of God. They knew that it was indeed the very word of God, not something that Paul had conjured up, or Silas had almost, you know, they got together in the back room and said, now what can we tell them today? No! Lord Jesus, give us your power, your strength, your clarity in proclaiming the gospel, because only your gospel can save and transform a life. Only your gospel can bring them to make sure that they have you as the foundation of your life. You are that rock. They were listening and obeying. Five questions that you and I need as we're reading, not just reading and hearing the Word of God, but studying the Word of God. Have you ever applied these questions? Forgive me, I didn't put the question marks. Sorry, my bad. Let's take a look at those. Let's read them together. And as we read them, go ahead, if you have a pencil, put a question, correct one. You'll be my editor this morning, okay? Great. Okay. Is there a sin to confess when I study the Word of God? Is God telling me through His Word? And I'm hearing what He's saying? There's a sin that I need to confess. It's in my life. Not my wife's life. Not my neighbor's life. But my life. Is there a sin that I need to confess? So that it can be forgiven. And I can be cleansed. Put a question mark there. And the reason for the question mark. Have you ever asked that question? Have you? Next one. Is there a command to obey? I come to the Word of God and God says, Bill, you should do this. Oh, not should. You must do this, Bill. You will do this. But I have a choice, just like you and I. Like all of us. When we read the commands of God, sometimes I choose not to obey. Are you there, too? Put a question mark there. Is there a promise to claim? When we read through the Word of God, and the Lord says, this is my promise for you. Is there a promise for you right now? Maybe you're going through a particular storm that God has a matching promise for you personally. And as you read through the Word of God, as you hear Him speaking to you, one way to obey that is to claim that promise. Is there a lesson to learn and to live? Lastly, is there a habit to practice or stop? Things go on in our lives, Lord, just stop it. Just stop it. Things that are going on that are not going in our lives, the Lord is saying, now it's time. Let's start doing it right now. Let's be faithful, for I am ever faithful to you. Sinking sand. Let's take a look. The foolish man and woman build their lives on the sand. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. Christ's words have no importance to them. Absolutely no value to them. When they hear the Word of God, when they read the Word of God, they say, you know, I know something better to do. That just doesn't fit my schedule. That doesn't fit my life agenda. That's not in my bucket list, Lord. Or their response is, maybe not verbally, but they're thinking, it's my life, and I will do what I want to do. And nobody can tell me the difference. Everyone else is doing it, so what? And they're getting away with it. Why can't I do it too and get away with it? The Bible is outmoded. It's so old. Don't you know that? It's so old. How can it be applicable and relevant for me today? You see, the foolish man, the foolish woman, that's how they think about God's word. I don't need it. The foolish man and the woman deny and disregard the reality of God. The fool says in the heart, there is what? Come on, let's say it again. We know what the fool says. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Yes. So the foolish man, the foolish woman who hears the word of God, they're saying, I'm going to completely disregard and I'm going to deny the reality of him. Even some professing Christians, unfortunately, can live as practicing atheists because they live as though God doesn't mean anything to them at all. A foolish man and woman make a decision to disobey God's word. That's a decision. You see, they need that decision. In this illustration, the Lord says, the wise man, the wise woman hears the word of God and they what? Okay. That's fine. My bone's breaking. Yeah, right. Oh, I'll put a source of that new body. I don't know about you. The foolish man, the foolish woman, upon hearing the word of God, whether it's preached, whether it's read, whether it's whatever, they make it a decision to disobey and not obey. You see, it's the wise man, the wise woman that says, this is what God says, because this is God's word. I know what God's will is. I must obey. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who will build his house on the sand, and the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. If you're hearing God's words today, the words of Christ, and are not obeying them, you need to know right now that you're building your life not on a foundation, but on sinking sands. And when storms come, and they will come, you know that for sure, your life will not endure. If you're hearing the word of God today, and you're obeying exactly what Christ has said to you, and you're building your house, your life, on the rock, a firm foundation. And the storms, whatever those storms may come, God promises, God's assuring you, that you will be strong in Him. You'll be stable in Him. Eric Weinmayer, he's blind. On May 25th in 2001, he's the first blind man to reach the peak of Mount Everest. Suffering from a degenerative eye disease, he lost his sight when he was 13, but that didn't stop him. On the mountain where 90% of the climbers never make it to the top, and 165 died since 1953, Eric succeeded in a large measure because he listened well. He listened to the little bell tied in the back of the climber in front of him, and so he would know the direction to go. He listened to the voice of his teammates, who would shout back to him, "A dead fall there, Eric. It's over there, 2 feet to your right." And we know that that's not the direction to go in. He listened to the sound of his pick jabbing at the ice, so he would know whether the ice that he was about to tread on was safe or unsafe. And you and I, in the course of life, at times it's perilous because of the temptations, yes. Because of our adversary, yes, to be sure. But you know, just like Eric, you and I have to listen to what the Lord is saying. When He gives us a warning, we need to heed that warning. When He says, come on along, this is the way, walk in it, we need to follow. You see, that's what the wise man, the wise woman, who has built their life on the rock, Jesus Christ,
That's what they do.
For the foolish man, the foolish woman. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. You can have Jesus. I don't need him. And that life is on the sinking and shifty sands. Father God, I pray for each one here who sat this morning. Lord, that each and every one of us would know for certain, with assurance, with the work of your Holy Spirit and your word conferring, that our lives are founded, are firm on the rock, our foundation, Jesus Christ. For there can be no other foundation laid except Christ and Christ alone. And so, Father, I pray that right now every man, every woman here in this auditorium knows for sure, with certainty, that they're the wise man, the wise woman, who hears the Word of God, who reads the Word of God, who studies the Word of God, and obeys it, and listens to hear your voice and follow you. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name.